Good morning, every Nation Church Penang. Good morning. Woo-hoo. It is a privilege that God has given me to be back on this in our main service today, and a privilege to preach to you the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, as we start today's message, we are still in our series of the Gospel Explained, where we are talking about the book of Romans, and as a recap. Okay, we have seen that the first block, which is the gospel revealed, and then there is the gospel freedom, and then last week we finished the gospel life. Now, in this fourth block, we will see here that this is the application of the first eight chapters of Romans. And as we explore this, Pastor gave me two chapters to study. So be prepared for 2 hours of service. Okay? So I will unpack this in 2 hours' time. Joke only. I will try to be it on minimal time. But if it gets, okay, overwhelmed, then it's 2 hours. Okay? So let's all stand up. And let's read the Bible as we give reverence to the Word of God. Romans 6, 1 to 4. Let's all speak. I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race. The people of Israel, theirs is the adoption to sonship, theirs is the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of the Messiah, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen. Let's all pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for this day that you have gathered us here again in your house, O Lord God, to worship you, to study and meditate your words today. And I pray, O Lord God, anoint me, O Lord God, as I preach your holy words today. And I pray, prepare our hearts, prepare our minds, fill us, Lord God, with your Holy Spirit, and guide us, O Lord God, to understand your biblical truths that you want us to learn today. Lord, we commit to you, Lord, this time. We commit to you, Lord, this place. We commit to you, Lord, our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all be seated. So as we start this topic, okay, I want you to look carefully at the red word, God over all. God over all. And later I will come back to this passage and why is Paul so passionate about this? So our topic today is about the sovereignty of God. So here are our objectives. You will discover the sovereign characteristics of God. You will understand with clarity God's prerogative and wisdom over us, and apply the power of the gospel and its implication to our lives. Three things. DUA. Now, some geography. Do you know the boundaries of Malaysia? Or just the land one that you know? But you know, it extends. There's an exclusive economic zone that is extended to the seas of the... So it is part of the Malaysian border. And it's just not on the seas, but also to the skies. And when you enter that zone, Okay, if you are flying, you will be notified. If you are sailing, you are going to be notified by the radio that you are entering the airspace, you are entering the sea, the economic zone of Malaysia. And you, I want you to see, the word sovereign means possessing supreme or ultimate power. Malaysia doesn't have authority outside its borders, but it has authority over its borders. And I want you to discover today what are the benefits of being under the sovereignty of Christ. Because there are a lot of benefits being a Malaysian, right? There is peace. You can call yourselves Malaysians because you are inside Malaysia. And there are a lot more benefits that only you know as a Malaysian citizen. And God wants you to identify yourself under the sovereignty of Christ because you might not know what you are missing. Now, I will have only two key questions here. Okay? And as we explore Romans 9, chapter 9 and verse 11, I want you to ask this question. What are the sovereign characteristics of God? Just like in the first verse, you will see there, God of all. It means God is almighty. We all know that God is omnipotent, all-powerful. We know that God is omniscient, all-knowing. And we all know that God is omnipresent. It means He is present to all His children. You might be here, you might be there, overseas. God is still with you. He is omnipresent. But here also, God wants us to see His sovereign characteristics. The first characteristic that God wants us to see is God's choice is sovereign. In Romans 9, 10 to 13 says, not only that, but Rebekah's children were conceived at the same time but by our father Isaac, yet before the twins were born or had done anything good or bad in order that God's purpose in election might stand. Not by works of him who calls, she was told, the older will serve the younger, just as it is written, Jacob I love, but Esau I hated. Choice. Before they were conceived. Everything was happened before had done anything good or bad. God has already made the choice for their destination. God has made a choice as well that you were called Christians today. Because if you will look back in what Isaac preached, predestined. He already foreknew before you were born who will be Christians or not. Choice. Since the beginning of time, God is doing choices. How will we look like? How the world will look like? Everything. God has sovereign choice in designing the world. He has sovereign choice what will happen. Choice. He is not God if He doesn't have that choice. If that choice is influenced, of course, right? When you're going to church today, you made a choice what you will wear. Choice. Number two, God's mercy is sovereign. In other words, mercy is compassion. God's mercy is sovereign. You will see here, what then shall we say? Is God unjust? Not at all. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy to whom I have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. It does not therefore depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy. It is the choice. It is the choice of God who to have mercy with. The problem, what, in this world right now, what? There are many religions. And that is human desire, human effort to get saved. But they, all of those things doesn't match to the righteousness of God. And you will see here in verse 18, God has mercy whom he wants to have mercy, and he hardens whom he wants to harden. Now, I have a side question here. Is God unfair with his choices? I ask you, if God is sovereign, is God unfair with his choices? Why? Some are this, some are that, some are saved, some are not, some are Christian, some are not. The answer is not at all. Why? Because this is fair. Equality to all is fair. Here is what is fair. In Romans 3:23 and 24 said, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And for your sake, we face death all day long. That is fair for everybody. What does the Bible say? For the wages of sin is death. So what is fair for all? Death. But because of God's choice, God's mercy, we are saved. So that's why that is the importance of us sharing the gospel. Because God wants us to share so that all will be saved. You know that Christ gave his only son for us to be saved? That's the grace. And that grace is only can be received if you believe and confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, and you will be saved. Now, characteristic number 3. God's purpose is sovereign. If you will look closely, one of you will say to me, then why does God still blame us? For who is able to resist his will? Can you resist his will? Right? But who are you, human being, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to the one who formed, why did you make me like this? Who are we to talk back to God? My face is deformed. I don't have arms. I don't have limbs. Why did you create me like this? I have asthma. Why? We don't have any right to talk back to God because we are just His creation. He is the Creator. You know, I always wanted to become an architect. Since I was 7 years old. If my parents will ask me, what is your dream? Other people will ask that dream. I want to become an architect. I want to become an architect. I went to University of Santo Tomas in the Philippines, which is the one of the best architectural schools in the Philippines. Cut off is 90. My grade is 87. I didn't get into architecture. So I prayed, Lord, do you want me to stay here? I stay there in fine arts. In 1 year's time, I took the exam again. IQ is high, science is high, math is high, English is 35. And the registrar says, sorry, you cannot shift. So I stayed in my course and finished it without failing any subject, praise the Lord. And now, what's my work? I'm a teacher. Not in my vocabulary at all. I never dreamed to become a teacher. But God willed it to be. And where God puts me, and what God's purpose, I am happy with it. Are you satisfied in what God has done in your life lately? Are you living for His purpose? Or are you still in limbo that I don't know what my life is about? And another side question. What should be our attitude towards God's purpose in our lives? Are you someone that complains? Are you someone that is not thankful? Are you someone that is still striving on that dream of yours when God is already telling you no? God is telling us, love God. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things works for the good for those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. There's a very purpose why God put you in that place. There's a very purpose that why God gave you that disability, that sickness. There's a very purpose why the things that are you're planning are not working. It's because God has a perfect plan for you and for His purpose. Why? Because everything that is according to His plan and to His purpose is for His glory. So love Him. Thank Him for what situation you are in right now, because that is the purpose that God wants you to do. And if you don't know your purpose, ask God to show you His perfect purpose in your life, in whatever place you are in. Characteristic number four, God's calling is sovereign. And you will see here, I call them my people who are not my people. I will call her my loved one who is not my loved one. And in that very place where it is said to them, you are not my people, there will be called children of the living God. If you will look back in the earlier verses, you will see there that Paul was telling about the Israelites. And then, because of their disbelief, only a portion of them will be saved. And then, also God, you see here, I will call them my people who are not my people. Those are the Gentiles. We are the Gentiles that God has opened up to be also called children of God. Imagine that, called. Number five, God's kindness is sovereign. Consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell, but kindness to those who provided that you continue in His kindness. Otherwise, you will be cut off. And if they do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them again. Kindness. We have a very loving God. Amen to that? Imagine, God can graft you again. If you are in a life that you are backsliding in your life, God can put you back in and live a holy life. Characteristic number 6, God's gift is sovereign. Wow. In Romans 11, 28, 29 says, for God's gifts and His call are irrevocable. Imagine that, irrevocable. How many of you have used a credit card and then it's what? Your credit card is revoked. Imagine that. God's gift is irrevocable. It cannot be denied. But the problem is, you know what's the problem? We tend to forget that God has already given us the best gift ever. And that is Jesus Christ. And what happens to us is that what? You don't realize that God has already given you the best gift ever. What if the Lord didn't give you your dream job? What if the Lord didn't give your dream car, your dream house, maybe your dream husband or your dream wife? Will you tell God, I don't love you anymore because you didn't give me my plans, my it's all about myself. And you fail to realize, we fail to realize that God has given you the best gift ever. Then that is Jesus Christ. We don't live in this world that is going to be destroyed one day. God has given us a promise that is far more greater than what we have ever imagined. And that is only through Jesus Christ. And that gift of salvation that Christ has given you is irrevocable. Now, there will be doctrines that you will see. Will I lose my salvation? You will hear a lot of those things. And when you hear those things, tell them, God's gift is irrevocable. Go back to this verse. God's gift is irrevocable. Therefore, your salvation, you will never lose. No, God's gift is irrevocable. You will not lose your salvation. Now the question is, how about those who are not? They profess they are Christians. I tell you, if the fruit of the Spirit is not with them, will you consider them Christians? No, because Christ is not in them. If the fruit of the Spirit is not eminent on those people that are professing as Christians, I tell you the truth. The Spirit of God is not with them. Therefore, you cannot consider them as Christians. Therefore, they are not saved. In Romans 8, 38-39 says, And I like this, what Pastor preached last week. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor any height nor depth, nor anything on all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That seals up everything. That's why God's gift is irrevocable. So don't turn your back to God if He's not giving you the things that you are always been planning for. Because God has already given you the best gift ever. And if you love God, all things work together for good in whatever situation you are in. And the last characteristic that God wants us to see is God's wisdom and knowledge is sovereign. You might be asking, if God has already predestined everything, why do I still need to share the gospel? Right? The answer is simple. You see, on the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable His judgment, His paths beyond tracing out. Who are we? In the purpose, who are we to ask who is predestined or not? Who are we to ask God, is this your choice or that is not your choice? Take note, go back. We are just creation, not the Creator. And we have to trust the all-knowing power of God, the all-knowing wisdom of God. Why we need to do this? God wants you to have that passion to share the gospel because God has already given His Son, Jesus Christ, to be the best gift ever. And all we need to do is to share that gospel to others. You know, every day I set up my classroom. What I do is hold the chairs of my students. Every day, I will pray for each and every chair as I arrange them, praying for the salvation of my students, praying for the salvation of their families. Why? Because I'm asking God that it would be part of His plan for them to be saved. I'm asking them that the Lord will send people to my students that they will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray that the Lord will transform their hearts. If their heart is hard, the Lord has the power to make that heart a good soil where salvation will be planted. So in your workplaces, are you asking God? Are you praying for those cubicles of your office mates that they will be saved? Are you praying for those loved ones of yours who haven't heard the gospel and who are so stubborn in opening up their hearts to Christ? Do you know that your God has the power to soften their hearts? Because God is sovereign. And we go now to our second key question. What attitude does Paul have towards the sovereignty of God? Passion. Paul has the passion to his fellow Israelites. Now, the question is, do you have that passion to your fellow families, to your fellow colleagues? Do you have the passion to share Christ to them, knowing that those who have fallen short in the glory of God will go to hell? That's why you see here in Romans 9, 2 and 2 to 4 says, I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I wish I myself were cursed that cut from Christ for the sake of my people. Imagine, Paul is telling already the Lord, can you just cut me off so that they will be saved? Can I go to hell and so that they will be saved? Do you have that passion? Ask yourselves, am I passionate enough to share the love of Christ to others? Or I'm happy to become what? A bench warmer, Sunday Christian. Christian with period. That's it. Or do you want, pastor's always asking, what kind of Christian do you want to become? Would you like to become the so-so Christian? Or do you want to become a strong Christian? So be passionate. You don't know when the Lord will come. When will you start sharing the gospel to others? When it's too late? So have that passion. Number two, purpose to the Gentiles. When you know your purpose in life, I tell you, it supersedes everything. It doesn't matter where God puts you. As long as you know your purpose, you will not have any burnout. Bible says, I am talking to Gentiles inasmuch I am apostle to the Gentiles. I take pride in my ministry. Do you take pride in your ministry? Do you take pride in what God has called you to be? Purpose. And now, this is one of the best revelations that God has given me as I was preparing this message. Paul perceives God's sovereignty. Other word for perceive is understand. When you understand that you are under the sovereignty of Malaysia, when you understand that you are under the sovereignty of God, you know you are very blessed. So as I conclude this message, I want you to stand up. Let's all stand up. I want you to declare something. If your country has like a national anthem, if your country is like there's a Creole, right? I want you to declare this with your lips. Read only the ones that are in orange from the heart. With passion, with purpose. Okay? So let's start as we conclude this one. Because of God's sovereign choice, I now experience the love of God. Because of God's sovereign mercy, I am now justified. Because of God's sovereign purpose, I have a meaningful life. Because of God's sovereign calling, I am now a child of God. Because of God's sovereign kindness, I am now grafted in His holiness. Because of God's sovereign gift, I have eternal life. Because of God's sovereign wisdom and knowledge, I will never be put to shame. See, that is your blessing under the power of a sovereign God. Amen? So let's all pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much, O Lord, for this day that you have given us. Lord, I pray, O Lord God, forgive us, Lord God, if you see in us attitudes that is not proper, attitudes that is not thankful, attitudes that questions your authority, your sovereignty, O Lord God. Lord, forgive us, O Lord. And I pray, O Lord God, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to live under your sovereignty, O Lord God, because your sovereignty, Lord, is full of grace, full of salvation, full of love, full of everything that only you can give. And I pray, O Lord God, as we live under and understand your sovereignty, O Lord God, I pray, O Lord God, give us the passion, O Lord, give us the purpose, O Lord God, to share the gospel to those who are lost. It can be our friends, it can be our best friends, it can be our colleagues, it can be our family members, it can be anyone whom we meet, O Lord God. I pray, give us that passion. Give us that purpose, O Lord God, to share the gospel to others, just like Paul, O Lord. And I pray, O Lord God, as we stand up before you, O Lord God, we believe, O Lord God, and as we carry your words, your gospel to others, O Lord God, we will not be put to shame. Because what we believe, where we stand is true, where we stand is solid ground. And you are that solid rock, O Lord God, our sovereign God. And Lord, I pray, bless my brothers and sisters, O Lord God. Bless them with passion. Bless them with power. Bless them, O Lord God, with purpose, O Lord God. Bless them with understanding of your sovereignty. And I pray, O Lord God, bless them, O Lord God, exceedingly, abundantly, and overflowingly. And as you bless them, O Lord God, may your name shine brightest wherever they go. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.